Dr. Cassandra Goldie, CEO at ACOS, is currently in Adelaide to build the supporter base of people calling for an increase to Newstart, which has not increased in real terms in 24 years. Cassandra joins us now live in studio to discuss the Raise the Rate campaign. Welcome, Cass.
Now, Cassandra, why come to Adelaide, besides to see us, of course?
Well, because, of course, there's been a lot of really important advocacy and community action calling for this really important increase to Newstart. I mean, you know, South Australia's been leading the way in so many ways. SACOS has been doing the Anti-Poverty Network of South Australia, the really important and growing number of mayors of local councils in South Australia who have spoken up and said that the rate of Newstart is not enough, needs to be increased. It's been really important. And so we think, obviously, we've had a federal budget that was released not that long ago, and once again, the Prime Minister refused to increase Newstart. We have been calling for this increased Newstart for over a decade, and in the meantime, once again, government has failed to do it. Over 1 million people are affected by this. It is the single most important thing needed to lift people out of poverty in Australia, and it is, as Chris Richardson, leading economist in Australia, said the week before the federal budget, it is our standout fairness failure as a nation, and deeply cruel and humiliating for people to expect you to live on this amount of money. It's not enough.
And it would be an incredibly good economic stimulus, surely, given that if you actually increase the rate of Newstart, this would be one of the things that, if you gave people $75 a week in their pockets, they would spend every cent of it in their local communities, presumably.
Well, look, absolutely. I mean, this is we've got broad support for the need to increase Newstart on both social and economic grounds. You know, Chris Richardson is the most recent to very clearly put it as the top priority in terms of government expenditure, both on economic and social grounds. Long-standing support from the Business Council of Australia, Australian Industry Group, the Small Business Association as well, and of course so many people across the community, including people from the community sector and SACOS, right? And it stacks up on every front. Yes, absolutely, socially, it is completely unacceptable that we are expecting people who are locked out of paid work for a range of reasons, people affected who may have some kind of disability. If you're a single parent, once your youngest child turns 8, you're living on this payment. If you're a student without any money behind you, you're living on this payment. In fact, less if you're a younger person. It's less than $39 a day if you're a younger person. So it is immoral that we're where we are. But on economic grounds, absolutely. We know dollar for dollar, this money will be spent in the community in a way that you don't have that kind of guarantee if you are delivering a raft of tax cuts for people on higher incomes. In many cases, those higher income tax cuts do nothing actually for the economy in our view, and the evidence has shown that it doesn't actually lift consumer sentiment. It doesn't lift participation rates. But guaranteed, we believe that the increase to Newstart would have that kind of effect in the real economy in terms of people spending it, because they desperately need it to cover the basics. And also, as the business groups, including KPMG, actually, fairly recently has come out calling for this, they have identified it as a major barrier to helping people into paid work. Because if you're in financial crisis all the time, it's extremely hard for you to do what we all know is hard, which is to find a job, and ideally a good one.
Particularly in a place like South Australia that has had some major disruptions to its economy, and there are major issues about the availability of work in the state. And of course, if there isn't a job, then it's very hard, no matter what you do, it's very hard to actually get one.
Well, that's right. I mean, I'm sure, Ross, you at SACOS have been involved in many discussions over the last, particularly I think the last post-GFC era, right, of the future of paid work. Where are the jobs coming from? The fragility of that debate, the restructuring that's going on in the economy in terms of, you know, moving away from manufacturing, what's going on, the change in the automation of functions. Now, you can be in a room and there's debates about how radical the changes will actually be, but we certainly know it's changing. Mm. And we do know now that we have more than 50% of the employment arrangements in the country is on insecure, various kinds of insecure work. So if you do have paid work, you're not guaranteed to have it the next week sometimes or in a few months' time. So this basic safety net of a reasonable unemployment payment is an essential. And I wouldn't want us to lose sight, I'm sure you don't, Ros, because, you know, you and your colleagues and community sector people working on the ground who spend time with people who are in this kind of situation of not able to get work, the mental health, the psychological impacts of this, the sense of being stigmatised, deeply judged, even though we all know there's not enough jobs, one job available nationally for 8 people who are looking for more paid work, and then the anxiety associated with being in such financial distress.
The sense of failure associated with being rejected every 10 seconds because you made an application.
Well, never hearing back. I mean, that's mostly what happens to people is that because you're required as part of your conditions of getting Social Security, unemployment payment anyway, you've got to apply for, on average, a job a day. I just repeat that, a day. Imagine that, trying to do a decent job application every single day that you are in order to just get the basics to feed yourself. And so people, of course, do meet those obligations because they need the money, but most often you don't hear back from employers. And the employers, this is driving the employers spare as well. If you're in the workforce and you've been in an employer role, you know the number of applications you get for jobs and you know that the person isn't suitable for the job. It's probably been automated. And you know that they're only applying for the job because, well, they've got to apply for a job to get, you know, to feed themselves.
It just doesn't make sense for both the applicant and the person seeking to appoint someone, does it? Given that there is this kind of broad coalition of support, broad agreement from all these interest groups, some of whom are quite conservative in their views usually, even ex-Prime Minister John Howard came out recently and said he backed the idea that Newstart ought to be increased. Why is it that we can't get anybody on either sides of the... No, to be fair, we have to argue that the Greens have brought forward a bill to increase Newstart.
They have a private members bill that they've introduced a number of times, calling for the increase to Newstart and calling for an increase of $75 per week, which is also what we propose.
But the Greens don't hold the balance of... They're not the government. And the government hasn't wanted to do it. And indeed, the Labor Party hasn't wanted to embrace this either in any particular way. Have you got a view about why it's so bloody difficult to get this situation sorted? Because it just sometimes it feels as plain as day. It just ought to be sorted.
Why? Yes, it should.
Why is it so hard?
Yes, and you know sometimes in government policy making, you know that it's a tricky question. I'm trying to think of an example. So maybe when we were first talking about how do we build a new system for providing support for people with disability, complex, right? Design, you know, the NDIS, still working through some of the complexity of how
still
to...
Still pretty complex.
Absolutely. But increasing Newstart is not complex. Actually, it's a very simple question, which is how much money does a person need in order to live with dignity if they don't have an alternative source of income, right? We've got a clear analysis about how much is needed and what we have at the moment isn't enough. So it's not difficult. So you're quite right. We go, well, why do we have to keep working so hard to get this policy in place? So our best assessment is that we have, and the two major parties are a bit different in their position. So the coalition government not only says there's not a problem, but they actually want to cut Newstart even more by abolishing the energy supplement, which is $4 a week.
Boo.
Boo. So we strongly oppose that, of course. So the coalition is certainly... got a more aggressive position than the Labor Party at the moment. Labor has committed to a written branch review. They acknowledge there's a problem. They say it's not enough, but they won't commit to a substantial increase to Newstart in opposition. We think we need that commitment and we need it from both sides of politics. The reason we think they don't do it is because there is this assessment that it works politically. There may be a few votes in it to continue to blame people who are unemployed, that's their fault. It's a distraction. government likes to encourage us to have somebody else to blame besides themselves, right? If things aren't going well. And people on Social Security, so-called, in quotes, dole bludger, et cetera, titles, have been around for quite a long time now. And certain parts of the media love to run those stories. But as ACOS has been saying for some time, and now the public sentiment research confirms that the community doesn't actually overwhelmingly hold this view.
Yeah, so we're not that greedy, are we?
No, we're actually a pretty decent society, everybody. In case you got it wrong, because you read some press and think we're all mean and selfish, overwhelmingly the majority of the community wants to ensure that everybody has enough, certainly wants to ensure that children have enough. And we've now 68% of the community support an increase to Newstart. So we think the major parties are out of step with the community, that they're working off old politics. And certainly since the global financial crisis, I think what we've seen is a growing awareness in the community, a kind of a stepping up, really, going, okay, things can go wrong. It was a big reminder, right? If it wasn't me that lost my job, it could be me. Housing prices, the housing affordability issue is, you know, you may recall, Ross, there was a period where nobody really talked about it except those in the community sector. And now everybody is acknowledging how terrible it is to not be able to afford a home. And for younger people, right, you know, to have secure, affordable housing is a basic human right. And so the community has sensed that. And I think in the community, people understand the value of having a decent social security system, because if they're not relying on it themselves, they know somebody who has. I also think, as well as that kind of, that's kind of the nasty bit of it, you know, where you think governments do this stuff or won't support this policy because they think there's some votes in demonising people on social security. But I also think we do have a challenge in encouraging more and more people directly affected to speak up about the reality of what this is like, because until we are prepared to do that as a community, to meet head on this shaming and say, we will not be shamed. It is an ordinary part of life to, for example, become unwell, to develop a disability, or to lose your job. I mean, it happens. And sometimes it happens more often. Or to struggle to get your first job. That happens. And to not feel ashamed that the government has a role there in helping to provide you with support. So that's where I really want to say, you know, how fantastic it's been to see people, you know, from the Anti-Poverty Network in South Australia, for example, people directly affected, speaking up, explaining what it's like. You know, talking earlier on with somebody today where they talked about how their young child offered their $6 of their money to help their mum.
Their birthday money.
Their birthday money.
Because
right?
They knew that mum wasn't able to pay for the groceries.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Okay, so that's one small story, but you can imagine the heartache and heartbreak for a parent in that situation. Every parent can relate to that. And I think, you know, when we heard Jackie Lambie, if you might remember, when Jackie stood up in the federal parliament and talked about her personal experience of being on Social Security when she was a mother and no other income, you know, and she talked about having her esky full of ice under the house for 3 weeks because she couldn't afford
the power bill
to fix. It was actually the fridge. The fridge had broken. Yeah, the white good had got broken, yeah? And how she never told anybody at the time that that's what was going on. Hmm. You don't, do you? You talk about it afterwards when you're no longer in that situation.
Well, and you may not even ever talk about
that's
it
right.
Because you still feel ashamed for
that's
having
right.
been in those circumstances.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think the way that the community responded to her also said something to us, that this is about tapping into what is normally really shared experience in the community, that the political leaders are not hearing. And so, yes, unfortunately, I think we do need to continue to have people speak up about it. But this evening, again, I would say, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Ross, I don't think we should have to expect people to talk up. The evidence is clear. The data is there. The Prime Minister and the Leader of Opposition, of the Opposition, should commit together, whoever's elected, to increase as quickly and as urgently as possible the level of Newstart, and we say $75 a week.
Absolutely. And, of course, just for the record, What is the rate of New Start these days?
So it's just under $40 a week.
And what about when you started in your role?
Yeah,
as CEO
well, we were talking just before we came on air, weren't we? Because I started at ACOS in 2010, just after Julia Gillard formed government. And from almost the day I came into the job, this was the top issue. Now, ACOS is the peak body for the community sector. It's also its core role is to advocate to tackle poverty and disadvantage in the community. And the issue of Newstart was the top of the list in 2010. And at that stage, it was $35 a day. And so that's
$4.
That's it.
In 8 years.
That's it. Right? Imagine actually being on that payment and being told by the Prime Minister that, don't worry, you've got plenty of other payments you get as well. You've got plenty to live on. So that's one of the messages the government puts out there, right? 95% of you get something else as well. Just for the record, 95% of people on a New Start or Youth Allowance do get the energy supplement, but the government wants to abolish it. There's no question. We shouldn't even be arguing whether there's a problem now. I think it's a question of what do we do as a community to get the politicians to do the right thing.
Now, we've just had the privilege of having Dr. Cassandra Goldie in our studio tonight. It's been great to have the chance to have this little conversation about the importance of raising the rate of Newstart. And, of course, we're not just talking about Newstart allowance. We're talking about youth allowance and widows allowance and some of those other base level allowances. They all need to go up. But, of course, the shorthand version is let's raise the rate of Newstart. And if you want to get behind the campaign, you could certainly follow the hashtag raise the rate and get on ACOS's website. There's all sorts of good materials there.
Well, Cass, thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.